Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us here on the Mark Steiner Show and your source for cool jazz and more here on WEAA. We are about to have a conversation with two people who are members of the mosque here in Baltimore where President Barack Obama spoke on last week. And I want to introduce them both to you. Dr. Zainab Chowdhury has been on the show many times. She's back with us again today for this conversation. She's a Maryland Outreach Manager for the Council on American Islamic Relations. And Naeem Muhammad is Community Outreach Manager for the Islamic Relief USA. Good to have you both with us. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Always good to have you, Zainab. 410-319-8888 is the number to join in this conversation. You can also tweet us here at Mark Steiner. You can write to us here at talk@steinershow.org. Just call in, 410-319-8888. There's so much I wanted to start here with, but let me just begin. Zainab, I'll start with you and then go to Naeem. One of the things that struck me when I was watching the president speak at the mosque was the multiracial, multinational makeup of the congregation. We always hear so much that the most segregated places in America are places of worship, racially segregated, but not that mosque.
You know, Mark, that's really interesting. First of all, thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure to be on again with you today.
Always good.
You know, the demographics of the Islamic Society of Baltimore, one of the key points that stands out about them, about the demographics of ISB, is that it's really reflective of the Muslim community across the nation. We have like a mixture of the various ethnicities and various cultures that really comprise the essence of Islam. Islam is not a monolith. And I think that that's one of the factors that really kind of built the appeal for that mosque that, you know, it really comprises of a whole host of different diverse communities, African-American, Caucasian-American converts or reverts. We have South Asians. We have, you know, African-Americans, Arab-Americans, the whole gamut of, like, the diverse racial and ethnic makeup of the Muslim community.
Naeem, how would you like to comment on that?
Yeah.
Especially as an African-American Muslim in that mosque, right?
Yeah. First of all, thank you for having me on. And I mean,
pleasure.
I'm all geeked out as soon as you start talking. I'm like, oh, my God, because I'm a longtime fan. I mean, again, I'm one of the kids that grew up in the mosque. And it is kind of – it does have that mix. So you get to – if you get invited to someone's home for dinner, you're going to have the world's cuisine right in front of your feet there. So it's a great thing. And have so many backgrounds that can come together and it be peaceful, and it could be a lot of the sharing. And the great thing, especially as of late, the mosque is trying to do more to open its doors to neighbors and other people who aren't even Muslim or people of other faiths, that they can come in, learn about the place, even use the basketball gym if you want. Come on in. You're welcome.
Did you go to school there?
I actually went to Islamic school at Masjid Safat over on North Avenue, but I did like Sunday school, and we used to do like youth groups and different things like that out at Ar-Rahma at ISB.
So I've just again, Zainab, let me come back to you, and then both of you just chime in on this, is the significance of that day. Of President Barack Obama coming, choosing that particular mosque, the Islamic Society of Maryland, to speak. And what it was like, and given everything we've been experiencing in this country, especially with this kind of the rise of Islamophobia in our country.
Yeah, no, it was powerful. I think that it was a long time in coming, and so there was a sense of disappointment amongst many Muslims that, you know, it's been 7 years, and in light of like all the anti-Muslim sentiment that we're seeing, we've seen like unprecedented levels of like hate crimes and bias attacks against Muslims, especially over the course of 2015. After we had the Chapel Hill shootings with the Yasser and Razan, the three Muslim students in North Carolina and Chapel Hill who were shot down, and after that, it's just been like a series of attacks and hate crimes against Muslims and Islamic houses of worship. So there was a sense of alienation that we've been seeing amongst Muslim communities across the country. So in that sense, it definitely. The message that President Obama had of promoting religious pluralism on last Wednesday, it really resonated with not just the community who was present there, but I think with Muslims across the country and really globally, because we've been getting feedback from Muslims in the Middle East and across the world who really sincerely appreciated the fact that President Obama did take this step. And we know it's not going to solve all of the problems in terms of, you know, the different core issues that are impacting our communities on a daily basis. But it's a step in the right direction. And I think hopefully, especially now that we have candidates running for public office, Donald Trump, Ben Carson, who have been building a platform on demonizing Islam and vilifying Muslims, hopefully it'll help encourage them to change their tone and be more, you know, middle in terms of how they're addressing the Muslim communities.
Yeah, I'll tell you, when I first heard, I was like driving down the, I was driving around town, and I heard them mention that he was going to visit a mosque. And to be honest, I thought it was going to be, I mean, when we talk about the mosque around the Beltway, usually Adams community in Northern Virginia is that one that's like really like the one people go to. You know, even they hosted O'Malley not too long ago. But then they said ISB, and it was like, oh man, that's our hometown. Like really, really, you know. It was a little bit of pride that was like kind of awesome. But again, I think it's also very strategic. I mean, it's one of the oldest communities. I mean, Muslims have been in this city for so many years and have been contributing, whether they be businessmen, teachers, or you know, physicians, or whomever. I think it was a great place, and it was a great time for him to do this, because people need him to step up to unite the community. You know, we're getting pulled further and further apart, and that's what I was looking for, to hear those messages, and I think we received them.
But it's very.
And I think one thing to point out also is also that mosque particularly has been subjected to threats over the course of the last several months.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, so that, I think that was one of the. I mean, the White House had their own process in terms of like deciding which mosque to select, but I think it was the demographic makeup plus combined with the fact that the challenges that that community has faced is similar to what challenges other communities who have been targeted across the country have been facing. So I think that kind of like made us stand out a little bit more than maybe some of the other mosques in the area. But we were definitely happy that, you know, it was in our backyard, and we were able to. The community was honored to host the president, of course, and it was really an air of anticipation in that room, I can tell you that.
So, one of the things I was thinking about when this happened and conversations I've had, we saw Donald Trump make a comment that I guess he feels comfortable there. It's one of the things that Donald Trump said, right, in response.
It's a very welcoming and beautiful place. So, yeah, you should feel comfortable.
But I think that part of it is also, you know, my wife and I have had these conversations a lot recently, just because of conversations we've had with people that we know just live around us, that you run into, you talk to, and the depth of distrust in this country of Muslim Americans, of people who follow the Islamic faith, is very real. And
I was saying parts of America, because you know, places. I mean, the neighborhoods I grew up in, you know, people, the community was really had Muslims living in it, you know. And I think sometimes that happens more to me in the suburbs than it has in the inner cities, where inner cities, where, you know, they're interwoven,
right.
We're all living on top of each other in row homes or what have you, and you're kind of there together. But in the suburbs, you know, you're kind of. You can drive into your driveway, into your garage, and not meet the Muslim neighbor next door to you. And then even those mosques in the suburbs, you know, there's that, you know, they got a fence and a huge parking lot, and it's a building all the way over there. Whereas a lot of times in the mosques in the city, it's like a storefront. It's right. You could make a mistake and walk in and meet Muslim there. So I think that it also depends on what part of town you're in.
Right. No. I think that's less the case probably in the black community than many other communities
exactly.
in America.
Exactly.
Right. But it's clearly there, Zainab. I mean, that's one of the reasons you do the work you do. And I think that and the reactions to this visit, you know, because of that maybe you'll still believe that Barack Obama is a Muslim or that the fact that his father and stepfather were followers of the faith.
You know, Mark, I think it speaks to the fact that, you know, there have been studies that show that upwards of 50% of Americans still have not met a Muslim that they're aware of. And when we have media outlets like Fox News reporting biased stories, and, you know, there's like a double standard in how incidents and attacks are reported when the perpetrators are Muslim, and the kind of spotlight that's shown on stories when Muslims are the bad guy versus when they're the good guy, I think that helps to reinforce that sense of anxiety and fear towards Muslims. And I think that, you know, the stereotypical perception of Arabs and Muslims has been recycled so much, like in pop culture and Hollywood, what have you, that it's helped to contribute to this climate of, like, anxiety and fear. And so whenever, you know, an incident happens, like, the first thing that people think about, like, within the Muslim community is, oh, God, don't let it be Muslim, because now there's, like, this automatic, you know, expectation that if the perpetrator is Muslim, then, you know, the entire faith would be vilified. And that's something that, you know, it's not right, and it's something that needs to stop. And that's where, like, the work of, you know, Muslim activists and Muslim organizers and Muslim community leaders working with allies and interfaith partners and, like, the broader interfaith community just to, like, it comes into play to bring more attention to the fact that there is this double standard. There's this dichotomy that exists in how, you know, there's, like, this hyped-up sense of fear and hatred towards Muslims. And we know that there are specific organizations and groups and individuals who have a vested interest in, like, perpetuating that fear. And our goal is to help, you know, dispel some of the misinformation that's out there, some of the stereotypes and some of the, like, the infactual, the stereotypes that exist out there, to help dispel them, to help people understand that, you know, Muslims are, the vast majority of Muslims are law-abiding citizens who want the same things as anybody else. You know, we're first responders and doctors and lawyers and teachers. And, you know, like, there have been numerous instances where there have been crises. Mm-hmm. More recently in Flint, Michigan, where we know that an entire city has been subjected to tainted water. Countless children have been exposed to it. In the Muslim community, we've seen Islamic Relief and a whole bunch of Muslim organizations who have rallied together to raise money to purchase clean water for those children.
I just got back from Flint. I was there with teams over the weekend in Flint, going door-to-door with Muslim community throughout Michigan who came to do that type of work. And that's you might not see it on the news in the evening, but these are the efforts that the Muslim community is doing.
The things you both were just describing, I think, are very important. People don't hear this news. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about that. And I think that's one of the reasons that we, on the Mark Steiner Show, for the last 20-some years, have been trying to put this on the airwaves as much as possible, because we have to, not to be trite about it, but in ways we have to get over it.
Right.
You know, we have that the Islamic world is really still, in many ways, not accepted by large portions of our population. Mm. And I think that's why this visit was so significant.
We appreciate that, Mark. You know, that's something that, you know, the Mark Steiner Show especially, like, you know, we appreciate that, because having that kind of platform to be able to elevate the voices of the vast majority of Muslims who are doing positive work, who are helping to improve society and, like, you know, build a better country, you know, be able to have that platform to elevate their voices is something that's really critical, especially at this point in time. So that, thank you for that.
That's what we're supposed to do. Right. Let me open the phones here. 410-319-8888. Join in on this conversation as we talk with two members of the mosque where President Barack Obama spoke, the Islamic Society of Maryland, which is here in Catonsville in Baltimore County. Dr. Zainab Chowdhury is the Maryland Outreach Manager for Council on American-Islamic Relations, and Naeem Muhammad is Community Outreach Manager for Islamic Relief USA, and you at 410-319-8888. Rashi, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you, sir. How are you doing?
Very well. Good morning.
Assalamu alaikum to my brothers.
Alaikum salam.
And sister.
What I like each and every one of us have to understand, the Islamic community been here under the trees of Morocco. And those treaties are not being honored by those foreign Muslims that come to this country. And I say that because I'm a practicing Muslim, and I am an ill. There are Bays and Alis in this country that are under the Islamic creed. And when we come into your mosque with our feathers on, we get shut down. And I don't think this is right, because we are the first Islamic community in the United States of America under the Sharif Ali. Nobody recognized that in these foreign countries. So I'm asking you brothers and sisters to get together and go do your research on these treaties dealing with us here in America that's been here along with the Quran when the Muslims are coming here. We've been here. We've been here. We've been in the Civil War. So why you're not recognizing us as Muslims already here? and keep on shutting us off when we come into your community. This is one of the things that I've noticed in the Islamic community, in Cavaville and all around, where these Muslims got businesses, they get social service, and when we come from America coming to these Islamic communities, we get shut down.
Oh, so let me ask, let me get to the folks to respond. Naeem, do you want to start?
Thank you for your question and what you're posing. I think there's definitely a huge long history of Islam in this country. Like the gentleman said, that you know, from the times of slavery, that there were Muslims here. I mean, the president even made mention of that, and the great history and the contributions that Muslims have made throughout the years. Definitely, I guess maybe you might have had a bad situation depending on where he's gone to. But for the most part, I believe the Muslim community keeps its arms open to all. I mean, that's a place there. Like, a lot of times that people think about, like, sectarian divide or like Shia, Sunni, whatever. You can go into any place and pray, and there's a space there for you to pray and worship without any issue. For the most part, is what I've seen throughout the country. Thanks for bringing it up, though.
Zainab?
You know, I think the brother raises a very important point, because the reality is that a lot of people don't understand or don't realize that Muslims have been a part of this country since the beginning of the country. There's a very long history of Islam in the United States. And it's not until more recently, post 9/11, after the war on terror began, and like the multiple wars in the Middle East and in the Far East, that have helped to raise more awareness about Islam and Muslims, especially in parts of America where there isn't a lot of diversity, or there aren't a lot of Muslims that reside in those parts of the country. And that's important to point out, because there is this sense of otherization, or there's a sense of alienation towards Islam as a whole. And it does a disservice, especially to the Muslim Americans who have had generations of their family that have been part of our society, part of our country, that have helped to build the foundation of our country, that have served in the armed forces, that have, you know, died as a result of their service. And it's really an insult to them, which makes it even more important that we bring this information to light. And I think what the brother mentioned about this sense of, you know, like within the immigrant community, where there's, you know, there isn't like oftentimes there's like a sense of, you know, a closed door policy when it comes to, you know, Muslims who've been a part of this country for a long time versus like the immigrant community. And I think that it points to, it's something that definitely needs a lot of work. And I think that especially within the Muslim community, it's important to understand that Islam is not a monolith, that people come from diverse backgrounds and they have different language barriers, they have cultural barriers. There's like a whole host of different things that come into play when people settle in their communities. They kind of like tend to gravitate towards people who resemble them or who speak like them or who have similar cultures. But I think more recently we're seeing like more of an integration. We're seeing more, especially like with mosques like the Islamic Society of Baltimore, mm-hmm. like they're reflecting the diversity of our community. And now that we're having more dialogue on this issue and on this topic, there's more of a growing sense of we need to open our doors to all members of the faith, not just people who talk like us or look like us. And I think that that's something that the brother pointed out, that, you know, it's a polarizing topic sometimes, because it's emotionally charged and it brings up a lot of raw emotions. And I think it's something that we have to have frank and candid conversations on. But definitely, like, we're starting to see, like, a change in many communities across the country as people begin to open up dialogue on this issue and realize that, you know, especially the African-American community, which comprises one-third of the Muslim communities across the United States, the contributions that they have made towards, like, just improving our country and building a better society are invaluable. And I think a lot of people haven't been made aware of that. And as we learn and as we read and as we talk and explore this topic, it's becoming it's coming more to light.
Let me go back to once again the call in here while we have time at 410-319-8888. Aster, you're on the air. Welcome.
Thank you for accepting my call. And I have a question for brothers and sisters for Ms. Flamik's religion. And I have a background, which is I came from two religions, and my father is Christian and my mother is a Muslim. And then when my father is married to my mom and she converts to be a Christian. So I have religion too, different views. But the point is, what I want to try to say is, I know some Muslims, they are very generous, they are very good, but the bad point is, I will say, is when we are coming in this country, in the America, and I think we should realize that, and we came here is better than our country. And so what we've seen in here is the Muslim, which is ISIS, and they do the, killing all these people and just showing them, and for the people who kind of Muslim they are. So how do we trust and being a very good relationship with other Muslims to around the world, not only in the United States, but around the world? How do we see that change? I know it's very hard for them to generalize all the Muslims. It doesn't mean all of them, but how do we find out who they are is good, who they are not? That's my point, and okay. I need to hear that.
Mm-hmm. Austin, thanks so much. Let me start with Naeem, and then we'll finish up with Zainab Chaudhry.
Well, I believe thank you for your question. I believe especially post 9/11, a lot of us have done a lot to have their doors open and do open houses to bring people in, so that local communities that are living around these mosque or masjid can come inside and learn about their neighbors and feel more integrated. Muslim community has done a lot more to involve itself in different interfaith efforts to foster this kind of learning and sharing between each other. And I think that's what we have to keep. We have to keep those doors open. We also have to keep promoting the activities that Muslims are doing. I mean, like the president even talked about, all the free clinics that Muslims are running. There are groups like Islamic Relief and many others that are doing food pantries and what have you in order to help society. And these aren't being done as PR exercises. This is the mandate of our faith. But at the same time, we would have to do more to make sure those doors stay open and communicate with people so that they know the truth, the soul of the religion.
Is that it? Because I think there are a lot of people who, as our caller as well, that hear what many people are saying in our country, and some people, you know, get this, many people are nervous about any time they hear the word someone is a Muslim.
Right.
You know, whenever we allow our fear to overpower our faith, that's when we become more divided as a country. And it just, even our humanity is so interconnected on so many different levels. And when we see propaganda on social media, on television, on news, what have you, and there's like this repetitive cycle, like almost obsessive cycle that perpetuates the same message that Muslims should be feared, that Islam is evil, or Islam promotes terrorism, then it reinforces that idea that it's not compatible with Western values. It's a religion that's not compatible with Western values. But one important thing to keep in mind is that with, like every religious group, there's always going to be bad apples. When we allow that tiny fringe minority to define the narrative for the vast majority of the world's 1.5 billion Muslims, then we're doing a disservice to ourselves and to the vast majority of the world's 1.5 billion Muslims who are law-abiding, peaceful citizens of the countries in which they reside, who want the same things that, you know, any ordinary person of any religious background or no religious background wants, which is, you know, to be able to provide for their family, to be able to have access to education and have a livelihood and not be living under oppression or under the threat of war or what have you. I admit it's difficult sometimes, especially when we see the propaganda on television. But that's what I think what Brother Naeem pointed out, that, you know, being able to reach out and get to know one another, whether it's through open houses, through houses of worship, or, you know, talking to your neighbors, talking to your coworkers, to your colleagues, to your friends, to people who you might not know, who might be strangers, but having the courage to ask questions and listen with an open mind and accept diverse perspectives would go a long way in helping to dispel some of that fear.
Dr. Zainab Chaudhry is the Maryland Outreach Manager for the Council on American Islamic Relations. Naeem Muhammad is Community Outreach Manager for Islamic Relief USA. They were both members of the Islamic Society of Maryland, the mosque in Catonsville, Maryland, where President Barack Obama spoke. We wanted to get their feelings and thoughts on that day and that moment and their thoughts in general. It's good to have you both here.
Thank you.
A pleasure to meet you, Naeem. Thank you for coming in. Appreciate you for driving up from Virginia. And Zainab, always good to have you with us. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
We have a very short break, and when we come back, we're going to look at the trial taking place on the Adnan Syed case. Stay with us. We'll be right back.